Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our Where's the Faith segment. You want to join us as various religion reporters join us from an assortment of news outlets, and we catch up in the happenings of the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh, my.
Today's WTF guest is our very good friend, Bob Smetana. He is editor-in-chief from Religion News Service. That's right. He's the big cheese.
The grand fromage.
At RNS. Bob, welcome back to the Drew Marshall Show. How long has it been, buddy?
It's been a couple of years. I'm very sad that you haven't invited me.
Really?
I think you need to send me some Gideon's chocolate.
Well done. Well played, sir. Well played. Well, listen, being the big cheese at Religion News Service, that means you got some Religion News Service you want to tell us about. And the first thing I want to know is, do I really give a holy grunt about Willow Creek and Bill Hybels and women and accusations and drama? I'm so bored with all this stuff.
You should, because it's one of the most powerful churches and influential churches, not in just the U.S., but around the world. For 40 years, people have modeled their church practices and leadership around Willow Creek, and now all of a sudden people are saying, well, whoa, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Hmm.
So it's a big deal.
Okay, so Steve Carter apparently was one of the teaching pastor. I guess he was a teaching pastor there.
Yeah, teaching pastor. Yeah, and he's one of the successors to Bill.
And what's his take on things? He must have stood by his man.
Yeah, I think his take was like a lot of church members. Everyone looked at this and said, "There's nothing here." So Bill is my friend. So I think if you've got a pastor that is a friend and a mentor, and you know that person one way, and then people start saying things about them, you say, that's not true. No, it can't be true. Bill's an incredibly gifted person, right? So you can't build a church of 20,000, 25,000 people without having a great charisma. And great hair. And I think little at a time, he's like, this doesn't add up. And I think the breaking point for him was, so when Bill came out, so there's accusations against Bill Hybels for a number of years. They finally became public earlier this year. They had a very aggressive stance where he got up and said, everyone is lying and colluding against me, and this is to bring our church down. And Carter stood by him. And then I think as he began to hear from folks who said, no, these experiences of sexual misconduct or abuse of power from Bill, then he heard from one of Bill's assistants who had some very difficult stories about sexual harassment and a possible core sexual activity, and he became literally ill. Like, he started throwing up after reading it and walked out. He was supposed to interview Ira Glass, the famed host of America, This American Life, who was at the church to do an interview, and he just walked out. And I think that story in two ones, the story was very difficult. And then I think he thought, wait, the church said they investigated this. Why didn't they talk to Bill's assistants? If they haven't talked to Bill's assistants, something's going on. So I think he went through the, this is not true, to, oh my gosh, this might be true, and we have to listen to, we can't be telling people they're liars, we need to apologize, to, I can't go on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Hold on.
Is it true or not true? Do we know yet?
So there's a lot of, the church has said that they believe that these allegations are true. I've talked to 5 or 6 women who say they're true. There's about 10 women. There's certainly coercion, kind of coerced intimacy, really. He wanted to spend time with a lot of women. There were women in his hotel rooms that he just met at conferences, women staffers, even the head of Zondervan, which is a big publishing house, when she had to meet with him. So here's an example of the kind of story. They were at a conference together that Zondervan put on. They're negotiating for his new book. Her husband has heart problems during the middle of the conference. He's hospitalized. So they got to get him home. And Bill says, well, I'm going. Here's my plan. You better come with me or you're not going to get my book, basically. And she says, well, can my husband come? He's like, no. He wanted his time alone with women. And his assistant have journals of their conversations and their dates and everything. So there's going to be, the church is actually finally going to do a fairly intensive investigation, but there's a lot there. And the irony is
it more salacious? Like, I'm going to look over at one of my interns, Shauna, who's got jack to do with the church kind of stuff, really. And you're hearing, you know, the story, or maybe, Amy, I don't know. You hear the story, do you kind of go, ooh, the only thing that's really weird about this is that it's a pastor. Is that it? Because if it was just a schmo.
No, I think it's because this is a pastor who had so much. I mean, look, regular day people do these kind of things. Like ministers of tiny churches. I think this is powerful because of the
impact of Willow Creek, right?
The impact of Willow Creek, and that they their promise was like, we are the best run organization, and you should make your church like us, and people around the world model their churches on what Willow did.
Yeah.
So that's why that's the part.
All right, we spent too much time in that. I don't want to talk about icky stuff like that. So I want to talk about an ultra orthodox radio station that banned women from their programs.
This is a great story.
How did that go? Oy vey.
It did not go well. So this is the best headline of the whole week. You know, they got fined $1 million shekels, which is like $280,000, but it's an ultra orthodox station would not let let women be on the station, so they sued in Israel and they were fined $280,000. But it's $1 million shekels, which I think is kind of interesting. The kind of one of the women's was like, if you empty us from the airwaves, we'll empty your pockets, which was a fascinating line.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, they just said you can't be on here, and this is, I mean, this is what we have, and we have old religions.
Yeah.
That have old ways, and it's a new era, especially in the culture. So there's going to be these clashes. And in this case, the court said, even the country is very religious, said, no, you just can't ban women outright from Europe. You can. If you do, then this is the cost.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a tough time with this kind of stuff. You know, it's like, okay, the heart of being Orthodox Jew is they got rules about women, so let them do their thing. Yeah. Let them do their thing. And part of, hold on, because I'm looking at Tim, my
Liberal tree hugger
across the board here, and he's getting all kumbaya about this story. And if you got a Catholic channel, and I say to them, hey, I deserve to have a show on the Catholic channel. Well, you're not Catholic. Yeah. Well, then I'm going to sue you. Well, that's ridiculous.
Yes. No, it's these are that like these are, this is what makes the religion be so interesting, because we have religious, every guy's got religious rules, what you can wear and who you can, or words you can say, what sounds can come out of your mouth, like the things I can't say in your radio station right now,
yep,
or your sponsors would like them, that are just words, air moving across my vocal cords.
Exactly.
We've got meaning to them, so everything has meaning, and we put meanings to them, and sometimes they clash with the world around us, and when you want to get on the radio, you have to buy a license, you have to license to do it, there are certain rules you have to abide by, and so, they're always clashing. So how do we, you know, one of the great stories from a few years ago is the Amish in Wisconsin were trying to build houses, and the county, one of the counties there said, no, you have to have hardwired, you know, electrically powered smoke detectors. And the Amish were like, we don't have electricity. So they built these houses, and they set aside money for the building permits, and the county's like, no, we're going to come tear your house down for violating a law and put you in jail. And so, you know, they finally worked out that the state legislature worked out, but that's like, that is a fantastic example of like religious practice that crashes up against modern life, and how do we resolve them? So,
all right, just before we say goodbye, there are all these stories you can find at religionnews.com. You could also find a story about a California churches that are tackling climate change and shut down an oil well.
Yes, can I have 5 seconds to talk
about that? Yeah, you have 5 seconds, not four.
It's the best story ever. I love the story. So yeah, there's this little, I went there, and there's this oil well kind of behind an eight-foot-high fence in this neighborhood in L.A., which spurts oil wells on people and toxic chem. They bring them these giant tankers with tens of thousands of gallons of toxic chemicals that they pump into the ground to get the stuff out. And this little tiny church, which has been there for years, just like some college friends started it, and they do tutoring, and they build sidewalks, and they just got this oil well shut down over 2 or 3 years by labeling it as a public nuisance. First time it's happened. Wow. It's a really fascinating story.
Amazing stuff. Well, there are a lot more stories. Seriously, this is the source for all religion news in the entire stinking universe. These guys are so good that other religion outlets steal their stuff. They don't steal it. They say, hey, look what religion news is reporting on.
Yes. So come to religionnews.com and send me chocolate.
And Bob Smetana, buddy, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you, man.
All right. Great. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.